The word today is cornerstone. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Jesus Christ is called the cornerstone, meaning the most significant stone in the building, the one that supports everything above it and holds everything together. This name is reassuring and comforting to believers, but it's a warning to those who reject Christ. Here with more on this topic is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Cornerstone.
Jesus very often told parables in order to teach his disciples and the large audiences that followed him, and we have one of those parables for our consideration today as we study God's Word. It's found in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 20, verses 9 to 20. It's the parable of an owner who had a vineyard, and he hired servants to work for him. And the time of harvest came, and he was a far distance away, so he sent one of his servants to the land where the vineyard was in order to get the portion of the harvest that was supposed to be his. And when the servant got there, the people that were working the vineyard didn't like the fact that the owner had sent someone to check up on them, and so they mistreated this servant. They beat him up and kicked him out. Well, the owner didn't have the servant return, as far as we can tell here, so he decided to send another servant. And that second servant came, and once again, the workers in the vineyard didn't like the fact that the boss was checking up on them, and they certainly didn't like the fact that the boss was expecting to get a report and possibly even some of the produce and some of the results of all their work in the vineyard. After all, he was the owner, and he had every right to collect some. And so they beat up this second servant that came and kicked him out. Well, the owner was a patient man, and so he shows a great deal of consideration, and he doesn't seem to get real mad. He sends a third servant. And when this third servant comes, lo and behold, the same thing happens. They beat him up. They maliciously treat him and kick him out. And so the owner now finally is getting disturbed, and he says to himself, well, what am I going to do? And he says, well, I have an idea. I'm going to send my son, my own blood, my son, and they certainly won't mistreat him. They will certainly listen to him. So he sends his son on the journey to come to the vineyard and find out what the results have been. When the workers in the vineyard see that the son has been sent, they really become indignant and malicious, and they say to themselves, you know, this kid is going to be the heir. He's going to inherit this vineyard from his dad, and that'll put us out of work, and we won't get anything. What do you say we take this kid, this son, not only beat him up this time, but we're going to kill him. And that way, the owner won't have anyone to leave his vineyard to, and we'll end up owning the vineyard, and it'll be ours. Well, obviously, as this parable unfolds and as this story is told, the question is going to be, what is the owner going to do about this? Well, the owner, very indignant and very mad and very disturbed, is going to come himself and wipe out and kill all the workers in the vineyard for what they have done and the way they have treated him. Now, the parable is clear to understand. The owner of the vineyard is God. The vineyard are the people of God, the kingdom of God, and the workers are those that are serving in that vineyard. And God wants an answer. God wants to know, is there a produce? Is there a result? How have things been going? And the owner, when he sends his son, that's a reference to Jesus, God the Father, sending his own son, saying, I will send my son to check on things and see how things are going. Well, we know that the parable, as it says here, the workers in the vineyard killed the son. They killed Jesus Christ, God's own son. So not only is this a reference to the Old Testament prophets being beat up and destroyed and not listened to and kicked out, but also God's own son, Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent, he was not only mistreated, not listened to, he was killed. What a sincere parable this is. You know, what a sincere teaching. And it refers to Christ. By the way, you can not only see in the Old Testament places like Psalm 118 as an example, but throughout the teachings of the New Testament that Jesus Christ is called the cornerstone, the stone which the workers rejected and said, we don't want anything to do with this person. That person, Jesus Christ, became the cornerstone upon which everything is built. I don't think the example of a cornerstone is used too much anymore, perhaps on very special buildings, churches, schools, things like that. People still use a cornerstone. And usually that cornerstone is suggested that everything important focuses and comes back and stands on that cornerstone. For instance, if you were to dig up a cornerstone that was put in the ground, let's say for a building that was in the 19th or 20th century, you would find, if it was a church, you would probably find church documents, you would probably find a confession of faith, you would probably find a Bible, maybe a hymnal, and so on, important things. So when it refers in the scriptures to Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, it means that everything the church stands for, everything we teach, everything we say, everything we promote is focused directly and centered on Jesus Christ. Now, let's think this through and apply this parable to our own lives. You know, it's a beautiful thing to remember that the early church had a very simple confession of faith. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That was the confession of faith. If you wanted to join the Christian church, if you wanted to become a member of the group of believers, you would have to make your confession of faith by saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Now, of course, it's easy for people to say, Jesus is my Savior. They want to be forgiven. They want to have their sins taken away. They want the promise of eternal life. They want the certainty of a heavenly home. And it's beautiful when God the Father says, I have sent you my Son who took upon himself your sins. You have been forgiven. He rose from the dead. He has defeated Satan and the devil. And now your sins are forgiven. And now you belong to me, and I in my love will create a place for you in heaven where you will be with me forever. Now that's a wonderful confession to make. Jesus Christ is my Savior. My sins have been taken away. But I want you to pay special attention today to that second word. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Now Lord can only be translated one way in the Greek language. It means my owner, it means my ruler, it means the one who possesses me, the one to whom I belong. Now you see, that's saying quite a bit more. I'm saying that God controls me, he owns me, he rules me, I belong to him. He is my master. Therefore, he tells me what to do, he tells me how to act, how to live. He is my owner. I belong to him. Everything I have belongs to him. That's what it means to surrender your life to Christ. I have known people in my ministry that have surrendered various areas of their life to God. I've known people that have given their children to God. I've known people that have given their lives and their time to God. They work for the church. They serve the Lord. And in many ways, they've given their intellect to God, perhaps, and have said, I will never question God. I will follow him. I will let him lead and direct me in the ways that I should go. But maybe there's an area of your life that you're trying to still control yourself. Maybe you think that some pet sin or some part of your life, maybe in your work or maybe in your social life or who knows, maybe your finances, maybe you've said, well, I still control my money. I'm not going to turn it over to God. Well, whatever you possess for yourself and claim for yourself, that's truly your real God. That's what you really worship and what you really believe. Be very careful. That's a false idol. You are saying to God, I love you and trust you, but I have parts of my life I want to give to no one. I want to control it and handle it myself. What a sad situation. You're not really totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. If he is your master and owner, every part of your life should be turned over to him. Every day, every minute of the day. So I'm asking you today, when you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and when you claim him to be your Lord, your master, and your Savior, not only think of him in terms of your forgiveness and the eternal life you will spend with him in heaven, but think of him also in the way in which you live and act and talk, and every part of your life, your finances, your social life, your work, whatever part of your life you're talking about each day, may it be done to his glory, as this verse in verse 20 closes, that all of this will be to the glory of God. We worship Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to bring glory to God, the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who sent Jesus to be our Savior and Lord. One day we will spend eternity with him if Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Joy. Joy is a short word study in the fourth chapter of Philippians. If you enjoyed Pastor Schrader's message today, you'll appreciate having this booklet on this important topic. So write today for your free copy of Joy. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.